Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to be here with you this evening. It's more comfortable being in a seat than standing up front. Yesterday, I went out to go get some sneakers. The sneakers are worn down and went to go get them. And I also needed these little trinkets for track and field. When an athlete beats a record at Tioga, I give them a little, one of those things that you squeeze and the eyes pop out, right? And I put the record on the back as kind of like, wow, you did something that very few have ever been able to do. And we do that with a track team with lots of different things. So I stopped off at this party store to go looking for them, and they didn't have them, but everything in the store was like 50% off. Some kind of weird sale that happened just at the time. So I walked over, and the other thing is, you know, I'm always on the lookout for stuff history-wise that I can wear in the classroom to try to bring it alive. You know, if I come in dressed like I'm from, like I've got a suit that's from 1894, you know, and I can come in dressed just like someone from before, and they're like, whoa, and I can show the differences and how things have changed over the years. So I thought, you know, it'd be really neat, find something from the 1920s. So I went back there and I found a pair of pants, one of those high-waisted type of pants that were from a long time ago. And all of a sudden stuff started coming into my mind. I was like, where is this stuff coming from? And I walked through and I stopped for a second. I was like, I need to get out of here. And I went up to the front. I paid for what I needed to be paid for, and out I went, and it was all over. You know, and the message for tonight is where we go, where we go. I didn't expect that when I walked into that store, but you know, the thoughts that I don't normally have instantly triggered something, and so I stopped and checked, and I knew I had to get out. I knew it was the place that I was in. But you know what? When I walked in the first time, there was nothing. When I walked in to check for the things, when I walked in to check for the other things, and then as I started to head down a few aisles of the store, all of a sudden, get out. And I had to get out quickly. And I don't know what the ramifications could have been, but I knew I didn't want that stuff to stay in my mind. I didn't want the stuff that was attacking me to stay and take hold, so I had to leave. And where we go matters a lot. And I know we speak a lot about spiritually, about where we're going and having a vision, everything. But the Bible is also clear that where we go physically matters a lot spiritually and how we actually will handle situations that come up in those places. Let's take a look at John 11. Let's turn to John 11, and let's look at verses 8 through 10. What's great is that Jesus used so many practical examples to give spiritual truths, but the practical example is also true. And many times we take the spiritual and miss the practical that's there. So let's take a look in John 11, verses 8 through 10. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Because he's talking about going to Judea. This is when he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he just said, you know, hey, Lazarus is dead. Let's go. And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And yes, this is speaking about spiritual things. I mean, if we're walking in darkness, if we're looking into a lot of the other stuff, the religions wrong things that we may be reading, focusing on, whatever. But it's interesting is that he's talking about where we're walking. We walk in the day, we walk in the light. You can see exactly where you're going. How many people have gotten up late at night and you're like, oh man, I gotta go to get a drink. Or I hear something downstairs, I better go check it out. Or like I hear something downstairs, I better stay in my bed and hug tight and hopefully it'll go away. whichever you choose. But you're going, and how slow you're going. You may know your house, but you're never sure what's on the floor, where it was on, especially with other people in the house. So you start moving, and your feet are shuffling, and you're feeling around, trying to make sure, man, I've fallen in the past, I won't fall again. Did I put my shoes under the nightstand, or are they right there next to the bed? You know, and you're trying to picture real careful where everything is, and it makes you go a lot slower and careful. And there's so many times something at the top of the stairs almost sends me flying. Or, you know, you step on something that the cats, because we have two cats, and you step on one of their toys, like, oh my goodness, what did I just step on? You have no idea what you just did. And the same is true when we go physically from place to place. You know, walking in the day, it's easy to see where we're going. Think about this. Pastor Bailey used to say he didn't like going out after a certain time because everything changes. Police officers and people who are state troopers usually say things change after about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Everything changes. Every time you pull someone over, you got to be ready for anything. But before that time, everything's pretty much routine. Now, I'm sure there's always an exception to those rules. But simply put, Jesus is also speaking very practically. Very practical. You know, I used to run late at night. I used to run, and I love to run. I still do. But I would, you know, I would wake up or couldn't sleep, and I'd go for a run. Midnight, 1 a.m., go for a run. And it's a good thing I knew most of the other kids in the schools that were around, and I was friendly with everybody, and I tried not to anger anybody, and I could call them all by name, because one night as I was walking, all of a sudden kids started surrounding me as I was running downtown. Just they came out of a corner of some alley, and all of a sudden three are walking at me, a couple are trying to come behind me, and as I ran up, I didn't stop, I just kept going. And as I saw the first one, I was like, oh, hey, Craig. And he goes, hey, signaled to everybody else, put his hands down, and everyone all of a sudden went from menacing, really menacing, to all of a sudden everyone was friendly. Saying my name, saying hello, I was able to identify several, everything changed. I've never had that happen running at 5 a.m. I've never had that happen going for a run at 5 p.m. So where we go, when we go, makes a big deal. Now that's just the start for what we're talking about here. We want to be very practical, and we want to look at the spiritual applications there as well. So the places we go, both physically and spiritually, matter. We're told, and we've been learning and been going over it again in life group about the Holy Spirit. And last week or the week before, we've been talking about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Because he's like a dove. He's like the wind. He's a person. And if something's not going the way that he likes, he can leave. Just like we do. And it goes into Ephesians, and it talks about all the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, there's lots of things in there. It says, places where it talks about lying, stealing, anger, corrupt communication. Oh, let's take a look. I looked and I saw clamor. It's like, okay, I kind of know what clamor is, but I better look it up. It is an outcry, a tumult, and has to do with grief. So, and it is something I looked into a little bit more into it to see in the Hebrew what it actually, the connotation that it had. It's something done with great emotion, and then it gave an example, such as shrieking, disorder, and chaos. Like someone yelling in pain where it's not actually anything intelligible. It's just screaming. You ever been around something like that? You just hear a blood-curdling scream and it ruins everything. All of a sudden, you're flying to find out what's going on. There is no such thing as a Christian mosh pit. That is a place in the front of a Christian rock concert, also something that is very difficult to argue that you could have, where the kids push and shove and trip and headbutt and do everything like this in between each other. They just hop around to the music, slamming into each other. That is a tumult. That is clamor. It is something that the Holy Spirit is going to be far from. It's a place where we should not be. See, if the Holy Spirit will not walk there, we shouldn't be there. Simply put, if the Bible's saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, if we go someplace that grieves Him or someplace that's doing those things that grieve Him, we are exposing ourselves to other powers. Because if He's not there, what can come in? The darkness and everything having to go with it. And then it also says, neither give place to the devil. And a place is a spot, a location. And figuratively, it can mean like a condition or an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Or don't give him a place in your life. You know that going to a place where the Holy Spirit isn't, where we're not directed to go, which is a wrong place, can actually give a spot to the devil. So, wrong places can put us into contact with wrong spirits and the people associated with them. Clear, right? It's clear from Scripture. The Holy Spirit's grief, He's leaving, it's an open spot. He's the light. Jesus is the light. Father God is the light. He's the light that lighteth up all men. So if He's not there, what's there? Darkness. And we are not to walk in those places, going all the way back to John 11. Practically, physically, we are not to be in those places. Now, when I was younger and I wasn't saved, I went plenty of places. And now the longer that I am following with the Lord, there's more and more places that are off of my list of places that I'm even allowed to set my foot in. There's even places when I was a younger Christian that I went into that now I will not set my foot in those places. And I don't want to name some of the stores or anything. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know what you could get in trouble naming some of the places. And I'm like, Walmart. Oh, here comes the lawsuit. But there are several. And there are some places that aren't so bad that I'm still not allowed to set my foot in. So, who are some of these wrong associations, these wrong people that come? Well, Proverbs 2, evil man and the strange woman. There are two people who left the pathway of the just. They left the places of God and are now hanging out in other places. Well, where are they hanging out? Not where there's light, where there's darkness. And so you come in contact with those people. Jacob's daughter, Dinah. It says that she hung out with these worldly, at the time there were non-Jewish people. They were considered heathens. They had other gods. They're kind of like, maybe a different group in school that had nothing to do with church. Maybe it was the athletic group or the group who are the cheerleaders, or there's a group that they call the Goths that wear all the black, and they have these, or they have all sorts of names for all these different groups the kids do in school. But you see, any of those groups that are not centered in God's will are the world, and they can pull us aside. Now, we're not to be mean. We're not to like go out of our way to avoid these people. We're called to live in the world, but not be of the world. But when they say, hey, you want to come to my party? The answer should be no. Now, you can do it nicely. There's plenty of ways to do it nicely, but the answer is no. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And then it talks about different things that they do. And then it just names. These are, walk not in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, the people who want you to do evil, who say to lurk in secret for others, that want to steal, to lie. At the end, it even talks about, so are the ways of everyone who's greedy of gain. Ever hear of a get-rich-quick scheme? There we go. Yeah, guess what? Don't go in the way of them. Anything where as soon as anybody comes up and is like, hey, we can make a fortune on this, should bring up a red flag. Because these, right here in Proverbs, it's talking about letting sinners not entice thee, and then it talks about this group who is saying, you know, hey, let us go after, let's steal, let's take what people, other people have. And then it's equating this with someone who's being greedy. So immediately that should bring up a red flag. I'm not to go there. I'm not to head in that establishment. I'm not to associate myself with them. We are to stay away from places where we are tempted. And guess what? What tempts me may not be the same thing that tempts you. Hey, I have Christian friends that, you know, they have like the Superman mug or whatever that, but the Lord told me years ago, you're not to have anything to do with superheroes. And so I'm not allowed to have anything to do with superheroes anymore. I now even just coming close to them, I'm kind of like, ooh, I got to be really careful. And it's partly because of my background and things that I've done in the past and when I was young and all these types of things. And so that for me is a no. If I see all those types of pictures and stuff on a storefront, guess where I don't go? It's not a place I'm allowed to go. And I feel it. I can tell as soon as I'm walking by. Used to be nothing. Now there's a big red flag every time I see something like that for me not to go. And James 1 in verses 13 and 14 basically says, people are tempted because of different desires and things in their heart, and because of that, they are enticed. Notice it says different. It's talking about each person according to the desires that are in them. One person that may be alcohol, another person that may be smoking, another person that may be gossip. That they're not even allowed to hang out close to the checkout lines that have all the tabloids. Maybe it's you have to stay away from those stores or move from those. It can be very specific. Verse 15 says, after desire has conceived, that conceived means captured or takes root. It gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So that desire that's in us, that may be for something that the Lord says no, and we go to hang out in that spot where the temptation is, it can capture us. It can conceive in us, planting a seed that then we're not able to get rid of. And as it mulls over our mind and it's captured our mind, it keeps moving in that direction and changing us, then it brings about evil in our life. That's the progression. And notice, it talks about the temptations. However, temptations will come. We know that temptations will come because we're just going to be in the world and we're going to come in contact with people and posters and all these types of things. But if we're going to the places where the temptation is, we are setting ourselves up for failure. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 and read it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye might be able to bear it. Now, I believe that the wording here is very important, very spirit-driven. Look at this. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Taken you. It's talking about as we walk in this world and we're heading in God's direction and we're following, that temptations will come. They will come into our way. They will seek to take us. And with such temptation, God makes a way of escape. What happens if we put ourselves into the spot with the temptation? See, the wording here is very, very important. And it dawned on me as I was reading this and I saw those words like it was highlighted. There hath no temptation taken you, but is such common, that is common to man. Hath taken you, come upon you, tried to get you. Not you put yourself into the lion's den. Right? Daniel didn't say, hey, I'm going. God's good. The lions won't touch me. No, it was when he was following God and he was tossed into the lion's den that God made a way of escape. See, the way of escape comes with us not putting our own feet into a way where we are going to be tempted. That's a very important key that is missed a lot. That is missed a lot. Are you tempted? Are you tempted with worldly music? Many people are. If you're listening to Christian music that's very similar to the music that you're tempted with, guess what you're going to revert to? You're going to be taken in that temptation. And when I was young, you know, I wasn't saved till I was 17. So there's a lot of music that I listened to before all that time period. And I really hate when on the radio and stuff, they take these worldly songs and they put Christian words to them. And at first I thought it was funny back when I was a younger Christian. And I was like, ha, they took that song and it's got the little bebop to it. But you know what it did? Is it ended up exposing me to the very stuff that I was trying to leave and trying to get out of my mind. And even though there's new words and I may have memorized those words that were there, what's floating around me now is all the music associated with that same thing. And it would overtake me. You know, And we have to be careful. I mean, there's music like someone singing Christmas carols that are just like building a snowman or something like that is not necessarily wrong, or, you know, that type of stuff. Or there's like music stuff to get people going for working out and things like that. I mean, you got to be careful of the area that we're talking in. You can't say that everything for each person, you know, it's between you and God. You have to be very careful. But I know for myself, there's lots of places that I can't go or I leave as soon as there's certain music on. And even on like the bus, there might be a bus driver that just flicks on music and I put on some headphones or I ask, hey, could you switch? But there's only so much I can say. It's his bus, you know, and I can't tell every kid, get those headphones out of their ear. I'm going to get in trouble by parents and my boss and everything like that. But if they're playing wicked music loudly, I'm like, hey, I can't stand it. That's enough. And they turn it off or they stop it. See, and it's like this for all sorts of things, but especially where we go matters an incredible amount. And that's physically. If you're going into Walmart and you're male and you're continually walking through the women's aisle, you're wrong. It's simple. If you have trouble because you love snacks and you just buy them all up, guess what aisle you shouldn't be hanging around in? And I know they try to put those everywhere, but there's places of greater temptation than others. You know, you don't go into the Dandy to go searching around for food when you're all hungry. And we know that this stuff is true. We know it because we've been there. Giving these examples are just simple things. You know, there's areas too that the women who have trouble with, they love all these celebrities and all these types of things. You can't be in the magazine aisle because they'll find themselves just reading what's there on the front. I didn't pick up the magazine. I only read the front of 20 magazines to find out what was going on. And it happens. I see it. Where we go and where we hang out, even in the places. You know, and sometimes there's a time limit. Sometimes, you know, there's times where we're supposed to go and we're supposed to get something from a store. But if I know, if I spend 5 hours in Harbor Freight, I'm going to find lots of stuff that I need, that I didn't need before I went in. It's the man toy store, you know, all these sort of things. I go in, I look for the stuff that I need, maybe check out the prices on some stuff I'm looking at for the future, and now I get out. You know, and it can happen like that with clothing shopping for some. It can happen with kids, with maybe sports and wanting the newest sporting equipment, and just hanging out with all that stuff all the time. It can overtake us. We can give a spot for it. We can give a place for it because we're in the wrong spot. We're doing the wrong thing. And you know, we can travel without traveling there now. You can go onto the internet and you can travel to Walmart without leaving your house. I can go and hang out in someone else's home and never leave my own. Such as Facebook and Snapchats or all the thing. There's lots of stuff out there. I don't really have social media, so I don't know all the Twitter things and everything. But there's lots of it. But what are you doing? You're actually going someplace. You're in someone else's home. You're inviting them in. You're traveling. And we can do that today. It's crazy. And, you know, books can do the same thing. So God even gives direction to individuals. But I also want to make sure, let's just take a look at that one more time. Sometimes it's the time that we spend someplace. There was a young prophet who was told to go into the northern territories of Israel and deliver a message. And it was a wicked place. Let me find out where I put that there. And that was in 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, I'm gonna paraphrase. Okay? I'm gonna paraphrase what the young prophet was told that he should do. Okay, in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 7 through 9, God basically told him this. I'm sending you. You're going to deliver a message. It's a wicked place. Get out quick. He said, don't drink, don't eat, don't turn aside. You know what that means? We all get thirsty. It meant he wanted him out fast. That's the short run of the whole story. This is where I'm sending you. You're not to spend any more time than is physically necessary. Get out quick. And we have to go some places to talk with someone who may need to work on our house. Maybe we buy something on Craigslist and you go to that person and you make an exchange. Or you have to go to the store and you are going for very specific things. And then all of a sudden, you know, you hang around in the store a little longer and find 5 more things that you didn't know you needed and now you have them. See, the Lord sends us to places and we have to be careful even with the time that we spend in some places. But some places, really doesn't matter. In other places, it matters a lot. We have to find out from God what those places are. And I bet you, you've already thought about some of those times you've spent a little more money than you thought, or talked with a person who you shouldn't have been a little too long, or allowed yourself to be invited to a place that you shouldn't have. Because, you know, invitations are very deceiving things. Like, ooh, I'm invited. And we think of the marriage supper or something like that, where God gives us invitation and the people who didn't go, they missed out. But then there was people who didn't go and they were jerks and they got judged. Then there was people who went and they went in their own flesh, their own ideas, their own clothing, and they got thrown into outer darkness. So there's three options here where we go. You know, if the world's calling, if God's calling, we're supposed to go. If he says, go here, go there, that's where we're to go. And there is an acceptable time. If we refuse, we could miss out. If we refuse with attitude, we can be judged. And if we go in our own flesh, in our own ideas, in our own ways, God can kick us out. See, very clear. Very clear where we go and how we go. Who enters in at the gate? The shepherd does. Does the thief? No, he enters in any other way but the door. So, where are we entering in? Are we going into places we shouldn't? There's kids that try to get into places in the school where they're not supposed to be, open that door to find out what's inside. That is a horrible tendency. So, how long we stay matters. Being with the wrong people and heading out, though, actually matters. There are better places to go than others. The Bible's clear on that one, too. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Now, you got to be careful, because it says neglect not the fellowshipping one to another, you know, and things like that. It's not that fellowshipping with other... Actually, that's one of the places we're supposed to go to, that God says, go and speak with me about other like-minded Christians. Go and hang out together in fellowship. Go to church. The Bible says, go up to the house of the Lord. So there's lots of places where it tells us to go. But then here, it even gives us a spot that's supposed to be better than another. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Maybe that's to edify someone. Maybe that house of mourning is a funeral, because that's actually what it's kind of speaking of, is more it's better to go to a funeral than it is to a party. Because we all only have a short time on this earth, and it reminds us, but a party does not. Ooh, that reminds me. I've heard kids say things like this. I'm going to that party. Not to party, but I'm witnessing to a friend. You know what? I just went with a friend of mine who's unsaved, and we went to go see, some horror movie, because that's what they wanted to go see, because I want to witness to them. I'm trying to fellowship. I'm trying to win them for Christ. People don't go to an evil movie to find God. People don't go to a party searching for Jesus. Isn't that clear? It's very clear. The person at the party isn't like, yeah, dancing and partying and going, hey, tell me more of that. They're actually in the presence of stuff that is keeping them from something like that. And so are you. It's just deceit. And yet, I've heard it from kids' mouths. In school, as I try to encourage one thing or another, oh, I just went to this movie or that movie with such and such a person because you wanted to see it, didn't you? And usually I get them to admit, yeah, you're right. I kind of wanted to see it too. We're told to go and to enter into our prayer closet. We're to go into the highways of holiness. So that's the places that have these things. I mean, it's not just, yes, we're to choose a better way spiritually, but also as we're physically, as we're going, you know, if we're going from strength to strength, usually strength to strength doesn't visit a casino. Right? They're not heading to the bars. As far as I knew, alcohol saps strength. God says it takes away the heart, takes away strength. So how can I be going to hang out in a place like that, considering that I should be going from strength to strength? You cannot. And I got it. The Lord may call you to go someplace to pull someone out, but he's not going to... I gotta be careful. Sometimes evangelists are called to go to some place and to be preaching the word until all of a sudden they're kicked out. Sometimes that happens, and I've seen it a couple of times. But you have to be real careful. It is not our choice. It is not what we're to be doing. That's not the direction of the Bible. But God also individually speaks to different ones. So I've gone to places to pull people out of the situation, but because I felt that that's what I was supposed to do. But I did not tarry. I did not wait. I went in, told them what was going on, and if they weren't leaving with me, I was leaving. And I did. See, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful where we go, what we do. And God is very clear on the things that he says. And I want to see this too, because remember, the temptation is different for each of us, so the place can be different for each of us. The places we can go, the things we can listen to, the people who we can hang out with, the situations that we can be with in. You know, for some people, I could hang in a car dealership all day and not have one bit of desire to buy another car. None. Because I do not care. My car could have several holes in it, and as long as it's going and getting good gas mileage, that's been drilled into me when I was young. And so I don't have a problem going with someone and thinking, oh, I need a better car, or I need a better this. Nothing. There's no desire in me for it whatsoever. However, there's lots of people that constantly dream of a better car, a bigger car, a certain type of car. And they don't have the money for it, and yet they're going to torture themselves looking at it. It says to put off the former conversation and put on the new man. Those things that once we were in are the very things that we should be avoiding, not going back to. The very things that were once our desires and the big things that we were into that were wrong should now be the things that we stay the farthest away from. That's simply put what Ephesians 4, 17 through 24 is talking about. Colossians 3, 5 through 6, if these things or these things or places that have been dedicated to these things in Colossians 3, 5 through 6, if they're there and they're present, that's not a place that any of us should be dealing with. Because there are things that grieve the Holy Spirit. So there's some things that it does not matter who we are, we stay away from. But then there's store aisles that I may not be able to visit, and there's some that you shouldn't visit. There's stores. There's places of cities. There's places in town. You know, for a long time, I drove to work a certain way. This is the last story. And we'll end on just an uplifting thought. And as I drive to work each day, or as I did, and for years I went this way, I continually passed, and you probably have seen it, there's like a place of ill repute. Some place where ladies do stuff that they're not supposed to and men go. And at first it was causing problems. And I didn't know that that was it. I was just, you know, listening to sermons or and listening to stuff that on the I very rarely listen to the actual radio. I'm always listening to books on tape or something like that. And yet there were problems. And then the Lord directed me like, that's the problem. And then he directed me how to pray against it. So then every day as it went by, I prayed against that place, but he directed me, the power behind that place is what you pray against. And so he gave me that. And then you know what? As time went on, he said, don't even go that way. So for probably a year, I was going by that place and every day praying against the power of that place, praying against the power of the place. And then he finally said, don't even go that way. And now I avoid that way whenever possible. And every way, anytime I have to go that way, I pray against that place. But I haven't had the same problems that I did back then. Because I was not even to travel that way, by that way. Think of what it says about the strange woman. Don't even go the way to her corner. Don't even go by the way to her house. Flee youthful lusts. Stay far away. So we each have our own temptations that can overtake us. That in our former conversation, in the old person, are ones that we've been exposed to and can capture us again if we're not careful. But, and there's plenty of excuses that people give for going those ways that they want. The people who were going to the, who said we're not going to the wedding gave lots of excuses, relationships, but I'm dating that person, but I'm doing this, money, but my job, but my land. There's lots of excuses, but I'm going to keep dealing with that person because they're making me wealthy. Is it worth it if it captures your heart? If it captures your mind? But remember this. It's the important verse. We will come to temptations. They will come. Bible says it. However, if we're not going to the places where the temptation overcomes us, God will make a way of escape. God will make a way of escape. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, David on the battlefield. But then what happened when his feet, when he was in the wrong place at the wrong time? When he was home, when it says in the Bible that he was, that it's the time when the kings were off to war. He got overtaken in sin. He met the strange woman and temptation overcame him and there was no escape. That's part of it. That's part of it. It is also that he wasn't guarding that part of his life. But part of it was his feet were in the place where they shouldn't have been. So temptation overcame him and he was not given a way of escape. But the Bible's filled with people who God made a way. Paul, Silas. You know, there was even a way made with Barnabas when they got into the argument. When Paul and Barnabas got into the argument, there would have been a way of escape. There was no avoiding that argument. It came to that. And if Barnabas would have turned to the Lord in that time, everything would have been fine. Okay, so let's watch where we go. Let's watch where we go. Just as important physically as it is in the spirit with the things that we're in. But as Christians, we shouldn't be in a lot of that stuff. We shouldn't be watching movies on witchcraft. We shouldn't be, so if we're just, even just we walk around and we head to stores and you're thinking about going to the movie or watch a play or to go to a sporting event, it's a good thing to check. Because God may say, no, that's not where you'd go. And he will make a way. He'll make a way. And we will move from strength to strength and not strength to weakness and then have to get back to strength in the same issue that once we had victory over. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. Will you help us? Whatever whatever that situation may be. Lord, if it's video games that we're not supposed to be playing, if it's something that's taking all of our time, that you say no, but may even be good. Lord, if it's a person. Lord, if there is a place, a store that we're not to be hanging out in. If there is a place where you want to give us a time limit. Lord, if there's things that we're letting into our homes. Lord, speak with us now. Speak with us as we head home. Speak with us as we go out this week. Holy Spirit, you are the voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. You are the voice that said to Paul, he was not allowed to preach in this place. You was not allowed to go to that place, but then gave him the direction of where he was allowed. Lord, if there is something that needs to be taken away, we pray for something to replace it. We pray for some place where we're allowed to go. If it's a gym, if it's a friend's house, Lord, please give that way of escape, even if we may have placed our feet in a wrong path. Speak with us this week and teach us how to place our feet in the correct path, that there may be a way to overcome this temptation, because you are good. You're so good. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.